Hey, hello everyone, it's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. It is April the 30th, the fifth Thursday of the month, and we're going to have an extra call this month because it happens to be five Thursdays in the month. So today we're going to talk about just what's going on with our during the pandemic here and how everyone is socially isolated and, you know, things that we can do. And I thought of the best cure for social isolation is imagination, being able to use your imagination and have your athletes and clients use their imagination, exercise that muscle for being able to move forward in their lives or keep moving forward. And so, you know, talk about things like how to turn social isolation into something positive, you know, using your imagination during this challenging time that a lot of people are having with the pandemic, you know, the difference between isolation, loneliness, and solitude. Solitude can actually be a really good thing and give us time to reflect and think, and some dangers of social isolation, what to look for there, and warning signs. It's important to kind of monitor our own what is going on with us and with our clients so that we can remedy those situations. And then, you know, thinking of it, like we're athletes ourselves, and we're thinking about sports psychology and different muscles that we need to use. And so in addition to the physical muscles of training, you know, thinking of it like what other muscles can we flex, like the creative muscle, how to exercise that, how to create something every day, and how you can do that in your practice and in your thought process. Maybe you want to create an audio, a visualization, or create something on your website every day, or create a blog or a post that you do on social media. Think of your creative muscle and how can you exercise that. And I'll ask you to, you know, share your thoughts on that and to what you'd like to create. Also, think about your creative muscle as what kind of practice would you like to create now or in the future, even if things are maybe slow right now in our practices because of this COVID-19. Think about the exercise of creative muscle. What would you like it to look like in the future? And then positivity muscle, how to keep positive in the face of all the negative news we're hearing, and your grateful muscle, how to create that gratefulness practice every day. Think of just three things you're grateful for, or reach out to people that you are grateful for and show them appreciation. Just want to talk about those things and, you know, how to discipline your mind when all of us are kind of all over the place. We've never had a pandemic before. No one knows how to do a pandemic well because we've never had this situation. And so how to be able to focus and think of and create adjust to this new reality and still be able to make it a positive thing. And you know, how to create something, how to focus in the face of distractions. So, yeah, and then just one other new thing I wanted to talk about is learning, you know, asking yourself and asking your clients, what is the learning in this time? How can say what's good about this situation? How can I use this to my advantage? What new things can I learn from this? So, just want to share some things on those topics. And first, just check in with, I know, Dave, you're there. Check in with any of those topics kind of resonate with you, or how you're faring with this, and what kind of clients you're seeing, what you're seeing in your clients.
Sure. So right now, you know, we're on
total
lockdown.
Can you speak up just a little bit more?
Oh,
yeah, or
sure,
a little bit louder?
Right now we're on total lockdown. So
what's your location there? Where are you?
Kirkland, Washington, where the whole thing kind of started in the country.
Right. Yeah.
So,
oh my God.
I've had to completely transition my therapy practice. I'm a family therapist of 17 years to video, to Zoom and Skype. And so all my paperwork, everything just has to go out virtually, which I think is good for my coaching practice too, because a lot of those clients are going to be video based as well. So that transition has been a bit of a challenge to look at the screens like all day. I mean, I'm literally doing like 18 to 25 hours a week of video sessions. So heavy duty work. But to keep myself kind of balanced, I do the trail runs with my dog, and I play the guitar and the ukulele, that kind of thing.
I play guitar also. That's great.
Yeah, I just love it. I set aside an hour each day to kind of like the creative piece, just to kind of make sure that happens. And then I was thinking about, coaching for myself, reaching out to somebody even within the group even, just to kind of like have support, but, getting the coaching, some additional coaching for me, just so I have more experience with it. I think that would be helpful to me over time, especially since I'm so kind of locked down here. It's just my wife and I, 24/7. So I think having some extra contacts that aren't work related, stuff that I'm wanting to do.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I know we all need that social support. And are you just working from home then?
Yes.
Most of the time? Yeah. It's hard to look at a screen all the time and Zoom calls or video calls. And I guess one thing I've done is with clients is also doing regular phone calls so that if clients are expecting video calls, that's one thing that they some people like just the old fashioned. Before there was video calls, we just did calling, right? Calling people on the phone and talking that way, and that or switching back and forth. Maybe one call could be Zoom, and then the next call could be just regular phone call. The nice thing about the phone calls is that you can just you don't have to look nice. You don't have to stare at a screen all the time. You can walk around the room if you have a nice backyard or something, someplace where you can go outside. You could still be walking around, and I find as an athlete, I get more energy being able to walk around and be more mobile while talking to someone, and then I can be free to, so my thoughts, it's like when the body's moving, the mind is moving too. And just being able to move around the room or outside while working with a client can kind of give a little more flexibility. And same thing with them, if they are wanting to get up and stretch or sit for some period of time and walk around for a period of time, then they can do that also. And also you don't have to be, because if you're on a Zoom call, you're expected to be constantly looking at that camera to show that you're having eye contact. I know it's difficult because you're supposed to look at not at the person's face on the screen, but at the camera, because then it looks like you're having eye contact with them. But of course, then you don't see them as much face to face. You're just looking at this dot on the top of the screen. So, it's tricky. It's nice to have that face-to-face kind of contact. But, yeah, like you're saying, 18 to 24 hours a week is wow. It's really hard to be stable. Plus, you're just having to be right in one place looking all the time. So it's
and it requires that level of concentration. And pauses, kind of normal pauses you might have in conversation, seem to get filled up because you're looking at the screen. Maybe it's just something with kind of how we operate when we watch TV. Everything moves so quick, and our focus has to be so intentional. I'm mindful of that, like kind of slowing things down a little bit, telling people like, hey, we might have a pause or here. It's okay to feel something. We don't have to like fill the air every second too. That seems to put people at ease.
People are used to, if they're on Zoom thinking, have to look good. It's kind of like I'm on TV and have to, yeah, not. And people can be more self-conscious too of how they look. Where, you know, they feel like, oh, geez, if I'm not feeling that great or not, I don't want to look this bad or that kind of thing. So they, might not show their true feelings as much in some ways. Whereas, the phone, I think people can look, don't worry about how they look because there's not the Zoom part, not the video component, and so they can feel free to kind of walk and just talk freely, and have those pauses and be able to and you can hear, when you're not looking at someone, not don't have that visual component, then you can really detect more in the voice and what their voice is saying, really listening to the tone and all of that as well. So, it's interesting, the two different dynamics there. I think if there's a group call, a kind of group therapy or a group conversation going on in Zoom can work well because you can see everyone, and then people get a break because maybe one person's talking and everyone else is kind of listening in the background, and their face is up on the screen there mainly, and you can be kind of in the background. Whereas if it's just one-on-one, then you can't hide, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Right? Interesting. Yeah, it's like we've gotten capped. It's a nice technology, but it's made us captive in some ways. In front of the screen. Or you could try, I'm just kind of brainstorming that it could be half the session on the phone and then half by Zoom just to check in with the person. But have more of it be on the phone so that you can kind of walk around. Also, I like to take notes with a person, if they're telling me information, and if I'm typing, looking at another document, typing in notes, then it might look like I'm not attending or something, I'm not looking right at them or at the camera while I'm typing in these notes because I'm looking at this other document, but I'm actually attending very well, but they might perceive that I'm not because I'm typing what they're saying. So interesting that all of that kind of dynamic that's going on. I think it's really important to, as you say, Dave, take an hour each day for something creative, and be able to go outside and do something. I was just thinking another way, with your dog, go running. That's great that you can run, and we have that gift. What a gift it is that we can still do that and not be able to, not have to need a facility to do that sport. You can just go running outside. But there's, I was thinking, we're supposed to be social distancing, of course. And I was wondering one other modality might be for all of us to consider.
Run? Yeah, this is Evan. I just wanted to say that I joined the call, so I didn't want to interrupt, but I'm here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I didn't hear the ding. It gives a ding sound when someone notices, comes on. Oh, good. Yeah, did you have any comments, Evan, or any thoughts on what we were talking about? How differently to work with clients?
Yeah, so for me, I was hearing what you were saying about different ways. I like to mix and to do different things. So when I coach clients, sometimes it's over the phone, sometimes it's over Zoom, sometimes it's in person, and I like to, there are different benefits to each of these ways to do it on downside. So I like to do a little bit of everything. Currently, I'm not that much impacted because I do most of it remotely. So, you know, except like some swimmers, I used to do workshop with them. So we're going to try to do a group call on Zoom. That might be helpful. But other than that, I'm not that much impacted so far. And I'm just present to what I'm feeling myself, which is kind of varying each week, you know, like the phase, like at some point, oh, okay, something's happening. And then I think last week I was kind of bored, like, you know, certain boredom to that pace, like waiting for Friday to be there. And, so it's interesting to notice and just deal with whatever is. I think that's interesting. And I totally agree with what you said about, you know, going for a walk, going in nature, running. I'm glad my tendonitis have gone and I can go and run again because that's so, so good, actually, to go for a run.
Oh, were you injured or something before?
Yeah, I had a tendonitis in the knee.
Oh, yeah.
And so I wasn't able to run for, like, a month. But then I started maybe a month or two ago, right, when this whole COVID thing started. And I'm glad that I can go for a run, you know. Just,
yeah, you're a marathoner, right? As well, you did a marathon?
Yeah, I did, like, Chicago a few years back. But since then, I've dealt with a knee injury. So it's kind of a pain.
Yeah,
but now
we're all runners here. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Just to finish, I mean, I like the creative part, too. I like to... Same thing, you know, play, you know, I play a little bit of guitar, harmonica. I'm even learning some, you know, street dance at the moment with some friends, you know, through video. So that's kind of I'm interested in. And I actually want to bring that into my own work. So that's a great time to practice being creative.
Oh, yeah. Bring the guitar music into your own work?
Yeah, or any sorts of creativity. It can be like, for instance, I like to juggle with balls, and you know, in the coaching as a way, like I've just ordered some balls where you can create some music with the ball, so when they bounce they make a certain noise, well, not noise, sound, and depending on the force with which you bounce them, the sound is different. So you can really create music with the balls, and by juggling you can really create something that is that you couldn't create in another way, right? You just let your movement do that. So I want to bring that into my coaching work, just as a way to say that there are creative ways to work on whatever we have to work on. You know, that's very experiential. And I don't know yet what it's going to look like. So it's like really longer-term project, but I'm just present to that creative part. So. Just to say that,
yeah.
I agree with you.
No, that's great. Yeah, I used to do some juggling also with balls and stuff. It's another. It's a real athletic sport too. So yeah, maybe you could teach people how to juggle. Add that to your practice. But yeah, and you know, I'm a musician as well, play guitar, and so it's good to, and maybe you could work with more musicians, too, as, you know, that's another area since you're a musician. We're all musicians of some sort in our practice, and musicians, of course, well, they're having a hard time right now, just like athletes, not being able to to perform or have venues to perform in, but they, but the nice thing about being a musician is you can still work alone and develop your skills, develop your working, your ability to play your instrument, and also, you know, be creative with that, with yourself and with your clients. I worked with a harpist once recently who played harp, and for myself, I've been experimenting. We're supposed to, you know, social distance, of course, which is fine. And you know, not meet in large groups, but if you meet one-on-one, or if you have athletes or musicians, clients who are musicians, you could meet. I've been doing that once a week with one friend who plays guitar, and we figured out, okay, we can, if I go to his house, and we have a window open, and we have, and we sit 6 or 8 feet apart, and we each have our own music stand, so we're sitting kind of not facing each other, but facing a little bit off the center so that we're not breathing on each other, then that can work really well. I've been doing that on a regular basis, and I haven't gotten sick, and it's been really a healthy thing to do. So you could encourage, and now things are opening up a little bit in parks and that sort of thing. I know, depending on your area, they've closed down all the parks, but now they're opening up again, so, and the weather is nicer, so you could encourage people to go outside and meet at a local park, you know, just one or two people, maybe not a large group, but be able to play together that way. And also another option is, I thought of, is to, if you have clients that are local, then you could go meet and go for a walk with them, you know, doing the social distancing, but just walk and do a walk and talk sort of thing. If it's, of course, you know, make sure that clients might be concerned about confidentiality, but if you're in an area where there's, you know, where it's remote, where it's not a lot of people around, and everyone's wearing masks these days, so you can't tell the identity of people in some ways, but that's another way that you could meet with people, is to sort of walk and talk, and a lot of times that can open up for a session, that can open up the ability to share, and when you're walking, you're moving, people tend to, you know, open up more with their thoughts and feelings. So so more options there, ideas for being able to work with different clients. So, yeah, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about the, you know, what we're going through. We're kind of in a second phase now, it seems like, of this COVID-19. At first, you know, we were all hoping that this would be short-term and, you know, a couple of months, and then the summer would come, and then we could get back to some semblance of normal. But now we're getting the news, depending on what state you're in, here in California, I know it's very, very strict, and Governor Newsom is saying that, you know, have to wait for the data and wait for testing and or herd immunity or vaccines before we can get back to normal, and that's going to be a while, not right away. And so it's kind of, I think a lot of people are in a, and our clients too, are in a kind of a mourning stage of realizing, wow, this is not just a short-term thing, and it's going to have to sort of create, at least for a while here, a new lifestyle. But here, I know, just in our state, in California, Governor Newsom just announced that students may be able to go back to school or some semblance of school as early as July. So they're going to start, rather than waiting till September, they're going to start back in school, maybe it'll start back in July if the numbers keep improving with less people with the virus. And so that's good news, and it's good to hear from, you know, it looks like each of the governors of each state are determining when people can, when schools can start again. And if schools could start, then sport, you know, it's going to have to be, you know, probably different in terms of way that people work together. But if there are athletes in sports, you know, that there'll have to be new rules with that too. But it may give athletes a sense of hope that they don't have to wait till the fall to be able to start doing something again. And so it's good to be in touch with your state and find out what they're doing with that. And I think it's really important to realize our value, you know, as performing edge coaches, as sports psychology coaches, that you know, we do have real a real value here to help to mitigate the effects of this extremely, you know, difficult, fluid situation, and through online support, through, you know, like I was saying, phone support, or meeting with someone in person, say going for a walk outside, or if you have an office or a home where you can, you know, use one room or an out a backyard or something as an office. I have a home office here. Then at some point, I'm considering being able to meet one-on-one with clients again, and keep with the social distancing and keeping a window open for, you know, plenty of air circulation, and just being able to, because fortunately we are in a profession where it's not like dentists are really tough because they have to, they're getting in people's mouths and working on teeth and are having to change their entire practice. Hair salons, the same thing. They work very closely, touching people, people's head and their hair, but we don't have to do that. We can sit 6 feet away or more and still be able to have a meaningful conversation with clients. So if you have a space, I know if you have office farther away, that those are shut down for now, but we have more flexibility in what we do in our own homes. So, and each person has their own kind of rules and their own feelings about that, what's okay and what's acceptable. So you have to, you know, go over that with the client and create rules, just like, you know, stores are doing, where there's, you know, sanitizing people's hands and that kind of thing. You could do that if someone comes into your home office and make sure that their hands are clean and make sure that they ask them if they have any symptoms and if they're okay. And obviously if they're coughing or something, then you wouldn't want to meet with that person. But being able to think, that's another way to use your imagination about how could I begin to transition at some point to being able to see clients again. And it's nice to have some face-to-face contact just as a break, like you say, Dave, from all that Zoom screen time, or Evan, you know, just, you know, working remotely with people. It's you can have that option, I think, down the road here to be able to meet with people in your home office if you have one that where you can work with people. So it's nice to be able to think about that for some time in the future, if that might be an option here. So, it's good to tell your clients, I think, that they may be feeling very alone and very socially isolated with this situation, and it's good to reassure them that everyone in this sports community and the whole community are feeling the impact of this COVID-19 and, of course, events and competitive seasons at all sports levels have been canceled and training facilities closing. So, you know, and the impact of the athletes, coaches, and parents, and the sports administrators are all scrambling to develop different plans. And so all this is kind of changing, but we need to help people focus on what you can do. And to be able to, you know, as we talked about in our last session, to help athletes to opt to, say, continue exercising at whatever level they can within their home with using whatever they have at their disposal. And I think encouraging people, realizing, you know, telling them that regardless of what happens, we don't know, it's just a really uncertain. There's so many things we can't control about our outside environment, but recognize the only thing, the one thing that you can control is you and your attitude, your efforts, and your actions, and to reinforce that with ourselves also as coaches and then with our athletes, you know, to say you can control your attitude, your effort, your actions, and to everybody has different schedules, but you can control to some extent your routine, you know, what you do in the first thing in the morning and what you do in the evening right before you go to bed. And that could be possibly you making a visualization for them, maybe a morning one for when they get up and for setting goals, and then maybe you can make a visualization audio for evening one for sleep and for relaxation. And one thing athletes could do is play your audios, put them on a playlist, and athletes could have a Dave playlist and an Evan playlist, and or sports psychology playlist of fog in my throat here or something, but yeah, being able to play those audios so that they have that positive input coming in from you, because we're facing that uncertainty right now, but it's important to help athletes to have awareness, focus on what you can control, and rely on, you know, ask athletes to make, one thing you can do with them is to make a list of strengths, to rely on those strengths that they've always had and realize, even though all this craziness is going on around us, that we can still be strong inside. So ask your athletes, what makes you a good athlete? What makes you a good person? What makes you strong physically and mentally? And what has carried you through all this time, through good times and bad times? And ask them to make a list of those things and then talk about those to remind athletes and our clients that they do have strengths that they can rely on to get through this, and remind them that we will get through this together, and that it may take longer than we think, but we can get through this, and being able to give them that kind of support. I think it's important to, you know, of course, to remind your athletes too, to take a break. It's okay to take a break, disconnect from the overwhelming amount of information that we've got going on right now with TV and smartphones, you know, the which news is mostly bad news, and to be able to, you know, just do something else. Kind of, Dave, like you were saying, and Evan, go outside and go for a run or a walk, play your guitar, find something that brings you joy. Also, projects, I think, are really important for athletes to start a project of some sort. You know, say, you know, maybe they want to learn a new musical instrument, or maybe they want to, they're good writers, and they want to write an article or write about this COVID-19, what's going on, or what's happening with them. Maybe they're an artist, and they want to draw something, create something to depict what they're feeling or what people are going through. So be able to think of different options for projects that your clients could do. And same thing for us as coaches. You know, think, okay, what's a project I could do that it might take a long time, but we've got a long time right now to be able to develop something. Maybe you've always wanted to write a book. Books take a long time, so write something every day. Create something every day with toward a book, or it could be if a book sounds too long, just a series of articles. Or if you're, sometimes, you know, writing can seem like, you know, some people are, I know I'm not that as oriented toward writing, I'm more oriented toward audio and video, so you could create, you know, some kind of audio each day that you could share with people, an individual one for each client, or it could also be a general audio visualization or mental coaching audio that you can put online with, say, YouTube, or a lot of athletes are using TikTok now, which are short, you know, say, 30-second videos or minute videos, and or LinkedIn. So being able to share, create something there. But think in terms of projects. I know I'm always happier when I'm working on a particular project. Or it could be creating a website if you're new to this, or expanding your website or changing it. Or it might be that you want to expand the types of people you work with. There's athletes, but and also there's other kinds of performers. You can think about people who want to, you know, athletes or people who want to pass tests. Test-taking anxiety is a huge area of that students are concerned about, and, you know, this uncertainty with that right now. But we can help students to be able to have that focus to continue working on whatever it is that to SATs or to be able to get into the schools that they want. They still have those goals. So it's important to be able to help athletes or people with those test-taking anxieties that they might have, you know, compiled with the anxiety of not knowing when schools are going to be opening and that kind of thing. At least they could be working on how to take these tests with confidence. So I know I worked with, and then there's also adults that are working on, or older people that are working on other kinds of tests, like the bar exam is a very long-term studying project, and lots of anxiety about that because it's a long 3-day exam. And I've worked with people taking the bar exam and helped someone to pass it the first time, and that's all a lot about confidence and without any marketing at all, just people were seeking me out for that, for you know, the performance anxiety part of test taking. So that's something you might consider working with people on. And students are always taking tests, and so yeah, so it's good to be able to talk about that and or think about the kinds of people that you could potentially work with. So, and then I just wanted to mention something and then check in with you again with identifying different things that you can do as a coach. One is to be able to focus on your, with your athletes, be able to focus on, you know, physical and mental fitness. So, you know, this, I'm kind of sort of talking on two levels, what you can do for yourself and then what you can do with your athletes is work on weaknesses, you know, improving your flexibility, maybe improving your strength. I mean, without any equipment at all, we can always work on our flexibility. So, you know, being able to do those stretches, and there's so many different, you know, back stretches and arms. Most people are spending way too much time on their phones these days, smartphones, so they're hunched over, getting neck pain and leaning forward too much. So, you know, you can help people with, and ourselves with, you know, you can do it right now as we're talking, is actually take it, you know, take your arms and go back in like an eagle, spread eagle position, and just open up the chest and be able to do that on a regular basis. And it can really help with your breathing, help open up your chest, open up your mental capacities, your cognitive abilities during this time, and be able to do that on a regular basis, say once every hour, do those simple arm, shoulder stretches, and be able to focus so that you can, you know, refocus. And then also I was just wanted to mention that, you know, different tools people can use, athletes can use to stay connected. And so they can have, even though they can't compete right now in the real world with other athletes, you can compete virtually with other people with programs like Strava, you might have heard of. And so, say if you're going out for a bike ride, you can put in what you're doing and see what other people are doing. With Strava, it helps with goal setting. And you might say, oh, okay, I've got somebody else here who's doing 20 miles a day. Maybe I could do 20 miles a day. So there's these virtual competitions that people can do. It was programs like Strava's, STRAVA, that you could check out. or this Map My Run program, and Ms. Garmin, these different programs to help with being able to compete either with yourself or with other people. And then it's important to help yourself and help your athletes, your clients, you know, with that daily routine. I think most of us have kind of lost the regular routine that we were used to being in before. I know I used to go to my gym every day or my health club and see people, and I really miss that social interaction. And so most students are used to going to school, but we have do have control about how the decisions we make about how we start our day and how we end our day and how we prioritize things daily or weekly. So you can ask your clients about that. How are you starting your day? What are you doing first thing in the morning? And I would advise people not to listen to the news first thing in the morning, or not to listen to the news right before you go to sleep at night, because it can disturb sleep and it can give you not the best outlook for starting your day. But you can be able to start your day with something like, if they could play a visualization audio that you have created for them, then that can be much better way to start the day. Or do like I'll do half an hour of core exercises, sit-ups, push-ups, all that kind of thing to get that body moving. And it's something you can do right in the house there. And then journaling, I think, is a really good way to start the day and end the day with. And it could be a logbook. If people don't like the word journaling, it could be just logging your goals, what you want to accomplish that day, and then what you did accomplish. You know, small goals, maybe three things that you want to accomplish, and have that right out front and center so that you can always be looking at it, referring to, okay, what's my goal for today? Be able to make it something that you do have control over. And if it's that project you're working on, then break up the project into small pieces. I know a lot of us probably could use a cleaning of our offices or organizing of our home environment or home office, and so that's something that you can work on as well, and be able to work on pieces of that, or making things more efficient within your home office. So as well as, you know, what's on your computer and organizing things there. So just establishing that daily routine. How do you start your day? How do you end your day? How do you prioritize things? Is good to, I think, ask yourself and your clients. And then, of course, I think it's really important to encourage yourself, and in this program, too, what we're doing right now is stay connected. Recognize that you are a very important, valuable part of your clients' lives, and you may be one of the few people who athletes trust and are willing, or who your clients trust and are willing to talk to about their feelings, their insecurities, their worries, and their well-being right now. So as much as you can, create space for them to share what's going on with you and listen, and ask how you can help, and give them assignments to do, fun assignments of things that they can do right now. So that's important. And then just recognizing the different degrees of how people are being affected. It might be some people might not feel as much of an impact, where others might be really impacted hugely. I know one athlete I was working with is worried, and it looks like her father may be losing his job. And so it's, as an athlete, that's she has trouble focusing on her own athletics and well-being when her whole system of support and stability is being affected with her father not being able to work, and, you know, all of a sudden the income is not coming in, and that uncertainty there. So it's good to let people talk about this and really express how difficult it is for them and you know, just getting those thoughts and feelings out is something that you could do that perhaps no one else can do in their lives. So it can, yeah, take a toll on many aspects of their athletes' lives, such as motivation. So I think it's good to be able to just train, encourage athletes they can train alone, and but training alone is not like training with a team, so they have to learn to be able to do that alone, and maybe they could be on the phone with someone. You know, that's the nice thing about the phone versus Zoom. I mean, you could do a follow someone's workout on Zoom too. So that's one way, or if they're on the phone with somebody, they could be working out and actually talking to someone and saying, okay, I finished this set, how about you? And they could actually do a workout, you know, at home and be able to communicate that with another teammate on the phone and kind of have an accountability partner that way. You could be their accountability partner, and also they could have that with their teammates. So there's that. And then also just one other thing to address is, of course, athletes are feeling a significant loss due to not being able to finish their senior season or finalize, let's say, you know, they've worked up to, you know, all these different phases of their activity, hoping to be able to compete, and then they have dedicated themselves, and now they can't compete. So it's important to be able to hear people's feelings about that, and what their feelings of loss and grieving, and let people grieve and get those feelings out, I think, just like we're all doing right now. It's kind of it's one of those few situations where everybody is grieving for something, for the loss of some people, loss of just their lifestyle. Some people grieving for loss of their, you know, income, loss of their jobs, loss of their social time with other people. And there's so many different ways to think about this, and it is easy to get, you know, down in the dumps about it, but fortunately you can be the kind of hope for them. I think the light at the end of the tunnel, and use that phrase like I used it in our in the subject line of my email to you, that the cure for social isolation is imagination, and there's no limit to our imagination. So this is a good time to imagine what you can do now and imagine what your life can be like in the future here. So, I just wanted to check in with you about your thoughts about that. If you were to use your imagination, Evan and Dave and other people who might be on the call here, if you can join in and just give an idea, how could you use your imagination or creativity to be able to imagine how things could be maybe different, do things a little different now or in the future? What would you like things to look like with your practice and with your life? Anyone can jump in.
Sure, Dr. Delcato, this is Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
So, yeah, hi. So generally, like on a daily basis, I'm always kind of picking up different tools and skills, a good chunk of it from YouTube lately. And so I'll try to learn something new for myself each day and then try to convert that in a way I can use it with a client. Like just recently, my aunt gave me something on breathing for Navy. She worked with Navy fighter pilots on breathing techniques. And I find that with some of my clients that just struggle with anxiety and distress, almost gasping for breath when they get kind of amped up. And, you know, it's a sign of imbalance. It's a sign of kind of a need for relaxation, but they don't want to do like, oh, deep breathing exercises, that's ridiculous. But when I say this is for fighter pilots, right, it seems to align with them a little bit better. And I'm actually able to get them through at least the first like 10 minutes of it. But that protocol she gave me was 40 pages long. I had to condense it down to like a page. So that's kind of been my side project late, just kind of getting creative with it. Because it's something I use, and I think at least the first couple clients I've used it with, these big guys who have high anxiety are responding to it. And it's, for me, it's kind of a form of mindfulness and being present. And it seems to really work.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's just, I know, just the idea of breathing, people think, oh, that's woo-woo, or that's for yoga people, or that kind of thing. But if you can give an example, like you say, for fighter pilots, that Navy SEALs do that kind of, these kind of programs too, and giving examples like that, then, big guys, and say breathing is for everybody, right? And, boy, we sure, you know, this that COVID-19 is a respiratory illness, and it affects the breathing. And so we need to learn how, in anxious, when we're anxious, to be able to take deep breaths and be able to, calm ourselves down. It's an overlooked thing, and it's something that was, that's with us all the time, right? We always carry our breathing with us. So it could be.
It's interesting. It's interesting because the breathing exercise involves the belly coming outward as you breathe in, and that's what fighter pilots essentially need to do when they're going against G-force at high levels. And so it's interesting to see, like, a big guy, like, really breathe it out, and his belly's fully expanding, right? And, you know, the first couple times were a little laughter, but then he kind of got into it, and I saw him relax. I saw his shoulders drop a little bit. I'm like, this is – they kind of made me a believer. So that was a good sign.
Yeah, it's something that physically you can really see, you know, your breath, belly coming out, your shoulders coming down, and your whole demeanor. And then, of course, it affects you mentally, be able to feel better inside. It's like taking a breath of fresh air, so to speak, mental fresh air, too. Yeah, how about you, Evan? Are you there? And Evan, are you still there? He might be on mute because I know there was some background noise.
Yeah,
but,
I'm there.
Yeah, go ahead.
On my phone. So, yeah, the breathing, I agree. Breathing exercise is always something like even, I mean, I find myself forgetting, right, sometimes. And so it's always a great thing to come back to. And usually when I have people practice that, they just feel calmer. I mean, for me, I'm always amazed because I practice it and I teach it. So it kind of became like natural or like obvious, but I'm always surprised to see how it is not for some people who, when they take a minute to just breathe, they discover a completely new world. So I think that's a great, that's where to start anything. Yeah. And, regarding this, like the period, you know, creativity for me, I don't know if I told you that, Dr. Joan, but I'm actually moving back to Europe in June, actually. So we're not even going back to France. We're going to Prague in Czech Republic. And so that's kind of a new adventure. So
the Czech Republic, is that, so why are you moving there?
My wife, she's taken a position over there in her company. And so I keep doing what I do right now with, you know, clients from here in the U.S. I have some clients in France already, and so I'll develop my activity in Czech Republic, which is kind of interesting. So, I mean, that's kind of a transition. I'm more into that rather than, you know, about this COVID situation. Like, my whole summer is transition. So I'm trying to bring creativity, but in this new phase of my life and career, more than, you know, with this overall situation. However, I found that the current situation was a way to, for me to be like, well, okay, let's just try that, right? So I just came with the idea of offering a six-module class for a sports coach, so for the coach themselves, right, around mental training, so that they can have some foundation, some basics that they can use with their athletes. And I'm going to propose that.
Offering what? What were you offering? Six something?
Yeah, six module, like mental train, like classes, six modules. Where I would teach some basics of mental training, of mental preparation. But I, because so far I've worked with athletes only, not with coaches. So I had, that's something that I want to do, which is really teach coaches some basics around mental training so that they can use that with their athletes. And I think the current situation is adapted because, you know, they're not on the field as usual, not that busy, although they have something to do for sure. But so I'm just going to try that and we'll see how it goes. And yeah, from there, I guess there would be a lot around adapting, I would say, everyone's goals, you know, and objectives. Like, okay, the goals for this season are, you know, irrelevant now. So how can you set a bigger picture goal? Like for a year from now, where would you like to be? How can you take some step ahead, right? Not wait that everything starts again in maybe in September, because in Europe, that's where it's going to be. and how to prepare for that.
Yeah, that's great. And you can continue, yeah, you know, when you're in the Czech Republic, you could continue working with athletes there. Could you continue your same work?
Yeah, definitely. It will be, like, I hope I can find some athletes who speak English, because I don't speak Czech. But because I'm doing most of it remotely, I can have some clients in France and coach them over Zoom or Skype like I do right now. And, you know, if people from here in the U.S. and Michigan keep referring me, then I can coach these guys too. So it's going to be an interesting. I'm already in touch with some other mental game coach in France, maybe to partner with some organization, sports organization in Czech Republic. So it's going to be interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, it's good to be thinking ahead. And, yeah, it's a huge move for sure there. But the nice thing about our work is that it's that you can do it remotely and, yeah, work with people all over the world. And because you're from France and you speak French, you know their culture there. You can always continue to work with athletes there, right? You've got such a great French accent. It's really nice. And people, yeah, I'm sure respect you from France, but also here, of course.
I think coming from, like, being trained in the U.S., you know, with you and everything can be a good thing from their perspective. So definitely I think that's always great to have a multicultural and background and just having been trained in different places. So I'm going to use that to my advantage for sure.
Yeah, and I like what you said about the bigger picture goals to help people with that. We all need to do that rather than just waiting until things open up. We have no idea when that will be for the whole country here or for the world. We can't control that part, but we can use, like I was saying in the beginning of our talk here, use your imagination. You can expand that and create a bigger picture goal for what you would like in the future and take steps toward that goal now. So what you ask, what can I do rather than what can't I do? What am I being prevented from doing? Which we tend to think in those terms, but think, what can I do? It takes small steps each day. Thinking, you know, it's some athletes, a lot of athletes, the reason we're in athletics is because we're competitive. If you can be competitive in a positive way and thinking, okay, everyone else is probably slacking off right now. My competition is slacking off. And so this is my time to get ahead. Maybe you can still work on your speed or your strength or your flexibility or mental game. And everything else is while they're not maybe losing motivation, I can be gaining motivation. So, it's good to picture it that way, or that could be a competitive way to use competition in your favor, so that when things do open up and you're able to compete again, you can come in, you know, running out of the gate stronger, and we can all, you can come out of this much stronger. So, yeah, thinking about that, this is really, I think that's a good way to think about it, the big picture, and what can I do using that imagination. Yeah, I just wanted to, so thanks, Evan and Dave, and I just wondered, sometimes Matt joins us in the background, too, is maybe traveling, and Matt, in case you're there, you could feel free to join us with any comments, but he, if he's not, that's okay. Maybe next time we'll do our next call in May. May always the second, fourth Thursday of the month, so May 14th and May the 28th. You can mark your calendar for those days. And yeah, maybe just we can close up with just any kind of takeaways that you have for today, something you learned or something you'd like to try. Or something that stuck with you out of our conversation today. If you want to contribute and think of something that Mr. you'd like Evan? To write down that you could do. Yeah, go ahead.
Please yeah, I think what came for me is actually, I think just the need for people to connect and find places to just talk about it, right? So, you can do that with friends, for sure. But I think it's great to have other circles or a community like this one. I have others with other coaches in the life coaching and business coaching thing. And I think it's great to just be there and share. And I feel with the client I have or the people I talk to that just having that place where they can process is actually the most important, right? Even more important than whatever the advice can be or the tools can be used, is like just creating that space. And from there, anyone can find their own way to move on.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Evan. Yeah, creating that space to connect and to focus and talk about what you're feeling. And yeah, and that's kind of what we're doing here, too, with these calls, is giving you a chance to talk about how you're adapting and imagining how you're feeling about things. So the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, it's okay to make it okay to be struggling with something and then just be able to support people, support yourself and people around that. Yeah, how about you, Dave? Do you have a takeaway or something that you learned?
Yeah, you know, yeah, when I think about, you know, just what I do as a therapist and kind of in the service of others, you know, I've known that for a long time, like that's what I was meant to do. And, you know, from the sports psychology side of things, like in the service of others, you know, how can we connect? How can we meet? And just kind of taking a little bit of what Evan said about, can you get this program going? I love the sound of that. You know, it seems like it'd be very beneficial to have structure. You know, structure is a form of discipline and something to look forward to each day. And, you know, if we're not measuring it, like, how is it going to get better, that kind of thing. So, you know, I think one of my big takeaways, like, kind of personal accountability, but personal accountability to others. You know, I think one of the biggest challenges I have is I can't serve all the clients I want to serve now because of my bandwidth, but I got to do the self-care too. And so, you know, that creativity, it serves so many different purposes. So I'm taking stock of what is really important as far as my coaching practice, what I'm going to do with that, and really honing in on the clients that I think will need me the most and that I can serve the best. And once I opened the door, you know, I started getting some calls, and mostly I just want to make sure I'm prepared as they kind of come through. So that's kind of one of my big takeaways is, you know, I've opened the door, now get ready. Yeah, be fully prepared. It's not going to be perfect, but I got to do my self-care too along the way.
Yeah, exactly. Take care of self-care. That's really good. Yeah, this is a good time to take stock of what's happening, really reflect and be, yeah, be prepared for what's happening and what or what you can do down the road, because there might be, you never know. You could be, all kinds of different clients could call you in the future. Athletes, it could be business people, could be musicians, it could be students taking tests, all kinds of things that come up that you might not have been ready for. So it's good to be prepared in whatever way that you can, and to create programs, whatever you think might, for, you know, find out, ask, what's my passion? What do I really care about? And so that if you create a program or articles, anything that you want to offer, audios, and it could be so many different formats these days. It could be teleseminars, Zoom calls, you know, YouTube short videos, blogs, articles, posts. So many different ways, courses, ways that you could offer things. Think about all the formats, and then be able to take this time to be prepared and for who might come your way. And then, yeah, that's great. And then, like you said, Evan, it's really important to connect and find ways to connect with people. And so I'm so glad we're able to do that on these calls here. And also, you know, good to connect with your friends, you know, outside of the profession, just friends, you know, from running, if you have friends from a running club, or, you know, just talk about running and the joys of, you know, running on trails, or hearing the birds sing. Birds are so much happier these days, and animals are happier because the air is clear and streets are clean, you know, and not filled with cars. So being able to enjoy those kind of things. And then with music, you know, we all play some kind of musical instrument, be able to play music, and maybe you could call a friend that also plays music or sings, and connect with them, either sit outside somewhere 6 feet apart, social distancing is okay, and is good, and play some music, which can get you into a whole other frame of mind, and then be able to or do it by phone or a Zoom. I guess there's different software just for being able to jam with other people, music-wise, or you could jam with a Zoom call, that kind of thing. So, yeah, so many different ways to be able to connect with people. I've tried just getting on the phone with somebody and playing a song. You know, it's not as good as being in person, but it's you can still hear and harmonize with the other person, and it gives a sense of connection and of joy there. So many things that we can do. Oh, go ahead. What's that?
I was just thinking about that, like how everybody on the call here, you know, I still appreciate, like, updates, what they're up to, you know, what they're doing with their programs. And, you know, like, I'm kind of hungry for more of that. I'm like, how can that exist, you know, like on the call, of course, but then maybe a little bit kind of online, maybe through like a Facebook page or something like that, because, you know, everyone's moving around and very busy. But it's always nice to kind of connect around that, especially with, you know, like-minded, you know, progressive people as far as their practice goes. So I really appreciate that part.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll think more about that. And, yeah, appreciate it. So yeah, great to connect with you guys and, with everyone here, and, put on your calendars the great conversation with you, and good to, imagine what you use your social isolation, turn it into imagination these days, and be able to move forward. And so put in your calendars May 14th and May 28th will be our next calls. And in the meantime, I'll send you the replay of this, and I'll send you my notes from this too, and I'll send an email. Do that more often now, so that we can have, I'll send you the notes from this next week, so we can, you know, you can have more guidance that way. So I appreciate it. And thanks, everyone, for joining us. I'll have the replay up shortly here, and we'll talk soon. Thanks for all your ideas, and great to connect with you. So have a great week, and we'll talk more on our next call, and I'll send you the email and replay shortly. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, sir. Bye now.